Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How about now? Anything? Am I coming in? Hello. There we go. Finally. All right. Thank goodness. Now waiting for Joe to call in. He's going to be joining me, although it's going to be his show today. And that might be him right there. Hello, hello, Joe.
Hey. Yeah. I'm having problems with my phone. I can barely hear you.
Oh. Well, I don't think it was your phone. I think it was the system.
Really?
Yeah, because nobody can hear me.
Is that right?
So, mm-hmm. But I guess we are on now. So, here we go.
Okay. All right, I'm going to call in on another phone anyway because I have this phone does have volume problems. So I'm going to call in again on another phone.
Okay. All right, so this show here, Joe from Montana Show, exposing the phony female advocates. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, he says, nowadays, we see a lot of females on YouTube who seem to be very sympathetic with men, or men's issues, that is. But are they really? Are they? Really? Really? I don't know. Oh, sure, they denounce the modern-day woman as shanks, disrespectful towards men, and selfish, lazy, entitled, etc. And that men should avoid them like the plague. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, okay, good. How's the volume now? You're better.
You're better.
Okay,
definitely.
Good. So it was my phone then. Okay. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen. All right, today's March 28th, 2024, Thursday. We started at 7 p.m., had a little bit of technical difficulties with my phone, but it seems to have been cleared up because I switched over to a different phone. Okay. So the thrust of the show tonight, and by the way, let me say thanks to Juliet for filling in the last few minutes and for being my co-host. And before I get started, is there anything that you'd like to say to get out of the way? Otherwise, I'd probably forget it.
Well, thank you for having me on as your co-host today. It's going to be an interesting episode, I imagine, from what you had texted me earlier today. So I look forward to the discussion and what you have for me and the listeners as well.
Okay. And if at any time you feel like jumping in, if you agree, disagree, then let me know, okay? Just jump on in. And don't forget about the switchboard. Let me know if somebody's on the switchboard, too, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm about to do today, I'm going to expose the female male advocates, those that, if you look on YouTube, you will see a few of these who seem to genuinely be sympathetic towards the issues that men had just by being men. Taking into consideration sometimes the accusations of sexual assault when the sexual assault isn't there. But other than that, which had come to light as a result of the Me Too movement, there are other burdens for being men, which most men don't even really realize. They feel it, but they don't realize it to the full extent that they could, about what this particular burden is or what series of burdens are. So they just go along with being a man, being a man. You know, you got to be a man. Okay? So what I'm going to do today, there is one particular female male advocate who seems to be pretty sympathetic towards men's issues. But then if you've only heard her more positive comments about men and about her disparaging comments about women and about how they are, how women, how men are avoiding them and how men should avoid them, you would think that this particular chick is really on the side of men. Well, I'm going to play for you a few clips. They're only a minute to a minute and a half long. They're called shorts on YouTube. And at the beginning, what I'm going to do is present to you an image of her, which she presents to the world, about how she is sympathetic towards men. And then after a few of those, I'm going to play some which make you ask, is this the same chick I was listening to a few minutes ago? All right, here we go. This one particular short is about how the average man is castrated by society. Okay? Open it up.
There's a lot of men CEOs and all that. Okay. This is a conversation about men in general. Most men are not in positions of power. They're regular guys walking around, and you know what they are? They're figuratively castrated by society and by modern media. They're walking around being told they're toxic all the time. They can't say anything to women without having their head bit off. Oh, you're a misogynist for every little thing. They're like, forget it. God forbid they want a feminine woman. It's like a crime. That's what's going on for the average guy. There's expectations of them. They're going to make six figures. They're going to do all this. In the meantime, the woman gets to just do whatever she wants and claim feminism as an excuse for why she gets to live the exact way she wants and make the demand she wants, but he can't do anything and say anything without getting his head bit off. That's the reality of most men. That's why men, and the conversation was about why men look to Andrew Tate. It's not a conversation.
Okay. Did you hear that, Suzette? Did that come across clearly?
It sure did. Loud and clear.
Okay.
Yes, so, I did laugh. That was, what do you say to that as far as, yes, that's true. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, she is a proponent of men looking, you know, almost being megged down because the average man is castrated by society. He can't be a man. He can't approach a woman. He's going to get his head bit off. Now, that sounds very sympathetic, and it is. But I got more. In this particular clip, she condemns promiscuous women, and these are the kind of women that good men should not pay attention to. Here we go.
I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to find someone that makes them happy. I want everybody to live a beautiful life that they want for themselves. I don't wish ill on anybody, but because I do, I can't stand the delusion. Now we all got to sit here and we got to be like, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, this is somebody who could get 95% of guys. And imagine going through life with that sense of illusion. Like, we see it, and this is an extreme example, but when women walk around like that, imagine walking around thinking, I get 95% of guys. How many guys are you telling no to? Because if you think you're better than them, are you? Or is it in your head? So think about it. If you don't want to wind up alone, you have to have a realistic assessment of what you bring to the table, of your looks, of your capabilities, of what you're willing to do in a relationship, of your character, all of it. I want everybody to be happy.
Okay, did that come across clear? I would think that it would. That sounded loud to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
First she starts out by saying she wants everybody to be in love. Okay, and that's great and that stuff. But then it sounds as though she's directing her negativity at the women as far as bringing something to the table. You're not a queen, and it should be an even participation in the relationship. That's what I got from that.
Well, and you got it right. Here she's condemning promiscuous women, and because these women have the delusion that they think they can get 95% of the guys that they want. What you didn't elaborate on was that there are a lot of women who will say, and they think that they're a 10, but they're really only like a 7 or a 6, okay? But because they're on OnlyFans, or because they have a big set of jugs, or because, you know, they're promiscuous, that they think they can get just about any guy they want, and any guy that they want, they want a 666. In other words, they want a six-pack. They want a six-figure income, and they want somebody over 6 feet tall. So, but when you take a look at what percentage of men in American society fit that particular criteria, it's something like less than 2%. There is a calculator, and I don't subscribe to it because it's based on census info, and census info to me is, I think it's sketchy. But in any case, it brings forth the point that there are women out there who believe that the average guy makes $50,000 a year. Some women say, well, I won't date a guy unless he's actually making $500,000. You take a look at the chick and you go, honey, wake your fucking ass up, okay? You're not getting anybody who's earning $500,000, much less $50,000. And even if you could, there are some of the women who could get that because they are that good looking. But they don't bring anything else to the table outside of their looks. So she's condemning those type of women. So again, this is the second clip in which she seems very sympathetic to guys. And here's another one, which seems like, wow, boy, this chick is just on the side of men. Here we go. This one.
Wait, hang on. I just want to say something. 200 pounds of rolls that just continue to roll. Some of them call it a muffin top. If I ever saw a 200-pound muffin, I'd start running. But, yeah, I mean, these girls will be posing in bikinis with their rolls hanging out. And when an attractive man with the right amount of earnings and so on and so forth doesn't pay attention, then we get misogynists. They are fat-shaming you. They are never giving any thought to, how about you work on getting rid of the rolls, even down to a muffin top, and then they might even be interested if they like muffins. I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, those are the sixes that complain about it, and they make these demands for the 666. And, and then they tell, oh, well, the man, well, he doesn't want to approach me. He's intimidated. Oh, he's a misogynist because he doesn't want to do something that I want to do. And I'm a 10. No, you're not, baby. You're a 10 minus 18, all right? So, that's just physically. I haven't even gotten to the mental belief. Down a little bit. All right. And this one, men will agree with it because men feel like they're reduced to a wallet. You know, women complain about being objectified as sexual objects. Men feel like they're wallet objects. Okay, so here's her little take on it.
We talk oftentimes about this. I don't.
Hey, don't stop on me.
I don't need a man. I don't need a man. That's been indoctrinated into young women. The reason for that is that in many cases, men have been reduced to a wallet. So women are having these conversations about men, and they're saying, well, I have a job. I have financial stability, so I don't need a man for that. And what they're forgetting about is all of the other things that guys bring to the table. They're forgetting about, you know, that shoulder to cry on. They're forgetting about that sense of union when times get tough. They're forgetting about someone, you know, starts breaking into your home and you don't want to handle that situation. You want your protector guy to handle that situation, let's be honest. They're forgetting about, well, I'm going to want kids and I'm going to want my kids to have a father, a real father. And remember, you know, women and men bring different things to the table. Dads and moms bring different things to the table. So a mom can't be a dad. A dad can't be a mom. It is different. We talk oftentimes.
Okay. So you want to give a take on that, Suzette? No, okay.
Okay, yep,
so,
no. Go ahead.
No, go. Jump in anytime you want. We only have an hour show, so you better jump in.
Okay, all right. I'll let you go first, and then I'll give my comments afterwards.
Okay. Here she is saying that men have been reduced to a wallet. So she's definitely identifying with the fact that men feel that they are nothing but either a handyman, a chauffeur, an entertainer, a protective provider, and a wallet. You know, call Johnny if you if you want to ride. Call Johnny if you want something repaired. Call Johnny if you want to have a night out, and Johnny will pick up the tab and says, "Duty, here's our man." Okay, and she's saying,
"Is this that one is this that one where she says that no matter what he needs to pay, whether she's behaving badly or not, but you're supposed to have the upper hand and."
Yeah.
And be the bigger man. I mean, you know, and be decent. How is that being decent when she's so disrespectful? And by the way, we have a caller from 907 area.
Okay, bring him in.
Sure. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Hey, Joe, could you bring up your volume at all for Suzette? Could you bring his volume up?
No. I don't know how to do that here in the studio. It doesn't give me a volume to work with.
No, it's if you're not hearing us over the speaker, could be your computer, could be VCR, but we can't do anything about making the volume louder. Matter of fact, my phone, the volume is on loud. And yes, you said you do sound low. Can you bring up your phone volume? Maybe that might help.
I'm actually calling from my computer.
Well, Joe, when you first called in on whatever phone you were on, you sounded much better. I could hear you much clearer.
Yeah, but that's a paradox. Is that other phone? That has very low volume. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're muffled. That's all.
Damn.
Yes.
You're a bit muffled.
If I go back to the other phone, then I'm gonna go back to the other phone. And if I can't hear Suzette or myself, then I'm gonna have to go back to this phone. Even if you hear me, Lloyd, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'll be right back.
We'll give him a second to get back. So what do you think about this woman that you're hearing these episodes, these short takes from YouTube?
I really couldn't hear them really all that good. In fact, I was concentrating on trying to get my Skype up. I was having problems with my Skype and trying to get logged back in. So, yeah, I was kind of distracted.
Okay. Well, this woman, Jebediah, she likes to play both sides of the fence. And I think she's doing it to help young women see the errors of their way, because so many of them believe that they are, just because they're a woman, that they need to be treated a certain way. Doesn't matter, you know, what she does, but just what he does for her. And yeah, that's that's not
true. Yeah.
So that's where we're at with that. she has some good advice, but on the same note, she has to, in order to conclude her scenarios, she either has to come down on the man or on the woman. So let's see. We're see if Joe's back yet. Where are you, Joe? And he's back. Okay.
All right.
Hey, much better, sir.
Did it? All right.
Yes.
I can barely hear Suzette, and, but that doesn't matter as long as comes across the airwaves. Okay. So I'm going to stay on this phone. And getting back to what this Jedediah was saying, she is very sympathetic, apparently, to men being objectified as a wallet. Now, I'm going to play another clip where she's sympathetic with men again. Suzette had briefly mentioned about paying the bill. I will get to that. That's my coup de grace, all right? Here we go with this one. In this particular clip, she is sympathizing with men who don't want to be with aggravated with women who seem to be rejecting men. Here we go. I may not have to put the volume on this one.
That's what they're going to do. Girls,
okay.
Like, men are afraid to come up to us. They're not afraid to come up to you. I mean, maybe some feel a little insecure, but by and large, they're just like, I don't need this aggravation today. I don't need some diva aggravation today, because more often than not, what do? You know, nasty, you know, like a little attitude, puckered lips. You know the puckered lips. They're tired. They're tired. They're tired of getting made fun of. They're tired of being, you know, abused. They're tired of getting, you know, oh, I'm a meme now. Because why? Because I looked your way for 2 seconds in the gym? I saw a video the other day. A girl's like,
okay. So here she is. She's being very sympathetic. Did everybody hear that well?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good. Suzette, did you hear it well?
I did.
Okay. So here's, again, she is sympathetic with men who apparently now are being complained about for not approaching women. But she is sympathetic, Jedediah is sympathetic with the men's attitudes of, why should I approach you if you're always going to have that pursed lip and reject me simply because you want to reject me or you want me to jump through hoops? So again, this is the fourth clip in a row where she is sympathetic towards the men. So if you only heard her and these particular clips, you would think, finally, we have a woman on our side. Oh, okay. Now, another one. Here we go with this one. This one, she's going to talk about a man has a right to have reasonable expectations. And if he behaves badly, leave the woman. Here we go.
Why is it controlling? How about a guy has some standards for himself, and he's saying to himself, if I'm going to date you and we're going to be exclusive and I'm going to prioritize you in multiple ways, I have expectations of you, which means that you're not going to go out, get sloppy drunk with your friends, be around a bunch of guys that are going to be like, the whole time, and maybe behave badly because people make not so great decisions when they drink. And why are you putting yourself in that situation? I don't want to give my exclusivity to someone who's going to voluntarily put themselves in those situations. And by the way, if you have me and you're so happy with me, why do you need to do all of that? Perfectly reasonable for a man to come to the table and say those things. Guys are afraid to say them oftentimes because they're afraid of losing a woman. Don't be afraid, men, to lose a woman who behaves badly. It will be an enormous favor to you if you lose someone that disrespects you consistently. Don't be afraid of the loss. Why is the
Oh, did you hear that? That I like. Do not be afraid to lose a woman who is disrespecting you, okay? Ah, that's my setup. All right.
And that goes vice versa. Women, don't be afraid to lose a man. It's usually, if you're afraid that you're going to lose a man, that's a toxic relationship. That's codependency. That's no good.
I agree. And by the way, people, this show is generally in favor of men, but hopefully not at the expense. Of course, it will be deemed that way, at the expense of bashing all women who are virtuous and good. No, we are bashing women who do not know how to treat men the way they should be treated, and we do recognize that there are men who are scumbags, okay? If a woman wants to come on here and talk about the scumbag men, not a problem, all right? But you did hear Jedediah say, if a woman is behaving badly and disrespecting her man, get rid of her, okay? So, now we're on to the next one. Hee-hee, baby. Okay. So, you have heard five clips in which this woman is talking about how, you know, women are trash, women aren't respecting men, women think men are wallets, society is castrating men. Doesn't that give the impression that she's on men's side? Yes, it does. Now, here's the other side, all right? First, I'm going to start off with something mild, this one.
Want this life? Go get it. You want this? It's not coming for you. You got to make that happen. You can't be tough on men anymore? That's somehow bad? What are you supposed to do? Sit down with your son and say, you're a victim of society. Don't work hard. It's going to... What kind of messaging is that to a young man? So what? That man grows up and what? Isn't fit to take care of himself, let alone a family. Instead, the guy listening to Andrew Tate grows up. That kid grows up and says, you know what? It's my responsibility to do these things. And I have to make sure that I can make it happen. And there's going to be some bumps along the road. It's my job to pick myself up by my bootstraps so that I can be that provider for my family. That's somehow bad now. You see how twisted and warped not only society at large, but these men are? That now these men are saying that that's somehow bad because they've been programmed so heavily? Unbelievable stuff. You want this life?
Okay. So that's my my introduction to how the worm turns in a very subtle, insidious way. Here she's talking about, what are you, men, come on. What kind of men are you nowadays? You still have to protect and provide. This is your job, she's saying in essence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And other men do not have anything wrong, do not see anything wrong in that particular attitude on its face, okay? We, like women, should protect and provide for the family and take care of our partner. The man should take care of her. She should take care of him. But I'll be getting on to how this will be bastardized into something else in a second. Were you going to say something, Suzette?
Yes, I was just going to say how the expectations in this particular episode seem to shift mostly to the men and laying it on their shoulders and without mentioning the woman and her part as far as, be a woman, take care of your man, take care of your family, that type of thing. No, it's just mostly on the men. And she made it clear as far as men that should be teaching their sons also to be men. And why is that wrong? Why, you know, we shouldn't be teaching basically that that's wrong. It should be right. It is right. But it goes both ways again. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Alaska, don't worry. You got a chance to talk, but this is only an hour show. I have two more clips. And there will be an hour, or hopefully anyway, overtime, as you already know. And you'll have all the freedom in the world with then. But I want to get these clips out of the way because I want to summarize. I want to do something that's not done on YouTube. There are good videos on YouTube by men and women showing how men are being treated badly, how women are complaining about men with no real reason. But when I get to the last clip, you'll see where I'm going with this, okay? Now, as Suzette was talking about, this clip that we all heard, she is telling men to man up in essence, okay? But what does man up mean? I'll tell you what she means by that now. Here we go.
Imagine thinking that it was a bad thing, by the way, for a man to say that it's their job to take care of women. Remember when that was noble? Do you remember? I don't remember. When the Titanic was sinking, I don't remember all the women complaining that they were on the boat first with the children. No, no. Were they like, no, no, I'm staying here. Men, you take the boats. I've got this. No, because that would be weird. That would be make no sense, right? And now we're warped, right? So this now we've been programmed as women to think that when a man says, it's my job to take care of a woman, you're supposed to be offended by that. Instead, I saying to yourself, well, that's a fundamentally decent man that thinks that's his job and is going to work his butt off to make that happen. Warped society. Don't play the game. Imagine thinking that it was...
Okay. Did you hear that? She condemns women at the same time as giving the responsibility again on men to do the protecting and providing, even at the expense of his life, for women he doesn't know. Okay?
Yeah. That's incredible. And when you think back to, you know, the cowboy days, cowboy and Indian days, you know, the men would usually take their sons and, you know, go round up the cattle and, you know, take them across the fields and stuff. And but the women then would have to take up the slack for her husband going to do that particular job, as tending to the animals and having them grazed and whatnot. But she would have to mind the ranch. So that meant when there was Indians and other predators that were out there, animals, whatever it was, dangerous animals, she would have to pick up that shotgun and protect the family. If she had a daughter at home or even a son at home, they would all man up, so to speak, with their shotguns and protect the homestead, and continue to do the work that they would share between the husband and the wife. But now she's gone taking care of other things, and then when he came back, he would resume his, you know, full chores, and she would reserve or, you know, do hers again. And so there was a mutual thing. This whole thing about keeping women barefoot in the kitchen is, I don't even know where that came from, because that wasn't so. Women didn't have time to be barefoot and just lay around in the kitchen, which that would be gross anyway, but I'm sure you get the idea.
Hey, don't get me. Don't give me those images. Jesus.
Somehow you have to mind a stove.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. What else was that?
That's it.
That's it?
I just
okay.
made you think of that. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
All right. So, right. So as you heard there, did you hear the transition? Women are skanks. They're irresponsible. They're not treating men right. But at the same time, even though they're treating men like garbage and trash, et cetera, you should die for them. No. As a matter of fact, there was a Swedish study which had been done some years ago which showed that this is a myth about the Titanic, where men, women and children first. There was something similar to that, but it wasn't just a clear dividing line here. Women, you take the boats. Girls, I mean, children, you take the boats, or you go with your mothers in these boats. And the men, well, you just have to stay on board while the lifeboats are being taken up by the women. First off, that's...
Yeah.
Men
just have to suck it up, literally. The whole ocean.
Suck it up and die. Yeah.
While the wife goes and rows away to safety.
Yeah, but first off, It's an unorganized way. It's incompetent. If you're going to put women on the lifeboat out there in the middle of the ocean, and if you believe women should be protected, they should have their husbands with them.
Yeah.
In the same lifeboat.
There's sharks out
there.
Yeah,
you know, sharks. You know, you need a man who is strong enough to take an oar and try to beat the sharks off.
Right.
So that's a myth, okay? But people believe it, and that's the kind of propaganda that for the last, since the 1970s, so the last 50 years, men have been inculcated with, and it's bullshit. All right? Now,
but
that's not the worst.
There was a reason why people rationalized that, though, and that was because women bear children, men don't. And so in order to continue, you know, populating the world, if she was brought to safety, she could, you know, find another man and you continue to procreate. But, men, since they can't, you know, it's like, well, we're just going to throw you to the sharks when your ships go down. And sorry about that, but you got to go. She's more important than you. Somehow that's how women started to become elevated above men. And when they actually came from man's rib, if you believe that. So anyway, I'm done.
Yeah, well, it happened even before Titanic. In modern-day society, that emphasized it. But if you're familiar with the history, I think it's of either of Rome or in Greece, there was a saying, when there used to be wars in Greek cities, there was a saying that women, that the mothers chided their sons with. They said to their sons, you either go out there with your shield or you come back on it. In other words, fight the war, sonny boy. Otherwise, the family will be disgraced. And if you come back dead, well, you come back dead. If you come back on your shield, well, you did your duty. But you're going off to war while we stay here. So that was back during Roman times or Greek times. So this has been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the worst of it yet. You might think that's the worst of it.
There's
but for me, like they said on the TV show, and there's more. Yeah,
exactly.
We got another one. This one, of course, the one I just played about the Titanic, that will resonate with some. But this one, men will agree with. This is how the message is insidious. This one, men will agree with, but it's not in the favor of men. Here we go.
You felt if there was something dangerous happening. You're walking down.
Getting the gun nuts.
Okay, but who would take the lead in it?
Okay, let me set this up because it is a short. Jedediah is talking to a woman called Melina. She's married or living with a guy named Destiny. Destiny is a YouTube influencer. Jedediah's precept is that, Melina, you're a strong woman, but you're not as strong as he is. And I'll let the rest of the short speak for itself. Why don't you start playing, you stupid bastard?
Position like that.
Okay.
There's a reason I'm asking.
I don't know. I actually have no idea. I mean, I'm like a very, he's pretty strong. He goes to the gym and stuff now. I'm a very, like, strong person. I've done jiu-jitsu. Like, I like guns.
Yeah,
I'm,
you're not as strong as Destiny.
I think we're,
there's no
I, as for a woman, I am probably
for
stronger.
A woman. For 100%.
Stronger than him. Yeah.
For a woman.
But like,
he's
we
a man,
do, there's
so.
Some lifts that we do that are pretty similar. In, like,
yeah, he's
the gym
still a man,
yeah.
though. So by virtue of
course,
being a man.
Of course, he can't get stronger than me, obviously.
But even now, I understand.
Yeah, of course.
Destiny's
but
not
I,
a
but
bodybuilder,
I think,
but
I think, I don't know, I think that we both have had experience. Like, I did, like, military stuff when I was in Sweden. So, like, I do pretty, like, masculine things. So I feel like we would probably be both, like, checking on
that's
things. If yeah.
Destiny, I'm talking to you out there. If somebody comes. Somebody comes to the house, if you're listening,
I have no idea.
And is jingling that chain, it better damn well be you that goes to the door, and you leave Melina in that room, and she needs to be hiding in some closet calling for help, and you need to be the one at that door. You felt it be...
Okay. Suzette, comments?
What's wrong with these women? I've done military things, so, yeah, I'm pretty capable doing the same thing that he... No. You're not the same. And heaven forbid, you know, well, those roles get actually reversed because you're going to be hating life, lady. You're going to be hating life. You cannot do the same things that men can do at the same capacity that they do them because you're biologically different. Saying you have military, that you've done military things, that you can climb fences, that you can, you're about as strong as he is. She didn't say that she was strong. She said about as strong, which isn't, you know, so basically he's going to take her down if they have a wrestling match. There's just no one dominating over women dominating over a man and then insisting, you know, that she be the one to answer the door while he's in the closet hiding. What? Not saying that he needs to put himself in danger. I'm just saying as far as knowing, being self-aware, having self-awareness. I think a lot of her shows, Jebediah shows, need to encourage more self-awareness because when women start to do that, then they'll be able to treat their man right. And the man that's out there waiting for them right now that can't seem to find a decent woman out there is, you know, he'll be prime and ready to go. But if you can't, you know, implement some type of self-awareness in, about yourself and your limitations, because you need to recognize what limitations that you have and also the things that you're capable of doing and do them well. But to try and step in another lane altogether and claim that you're going to be just as good as the person that's in that other lane, no, that can't be done. No, I'm sorry, you can't. I mean, no. Go ahead.
Well, okay. that was part of the message that she was talking about, but the takeaway that I got from the video itself, the message, was what she said at the very end. Now, what is your opinion about the fact that Jedediah says, Melina, you stay in the closet and hide and let the man answer the door?
I thought it was the reverse. I'm sorry. I thought she had said that he should hide in the closet, but changing that perspective. So she's giving her permission to stand down. But on the other hand, she also wants him to pay for everything, to do everything, while she's claiming that the female's claiming that she can do everything that her man can do. So why would she need to go hide in the closet? And Jebediah saying that, just as far as putting the roles, she just right there just chopped it up and said, you can die, mister. She needs to hide and be safe. And you are going to go down as a protector, but you're still going to die.
Yeah.
Who's this woman?
Yeah, that's the takeaway. So you thought that she was saying that he should hide and she should go to the door. Oh, okay, now I understand where you're coming from. Now, it's also what you're alluding to is that, yeah, women biologically are weaker than men, and that is a limitation on them. But at the same time, women can do other things that men can do, but biologically, physically, no. So therefore, don't think that since, you know, you're 5'8" and 155 pounds, you can still do the same as a man who's 5'8" and 155 pounds. You're built differently anatomically and physiologically. But the message here is, as you were saying, Jedediah is saying to Destiny, who's a man, and to men in general, if somebody comes to the door, do not expect your wife to help you. Protect her any way you can, even if that means hiding in the closet, and you go out there and you face the bullets, okay? Maybe she'll call the police if she has that state of mind. Maybe not. But can you see the transition from the first few videos where she was all for the men, disparaging of the women, talking about how the men and the women should bring their own respective attributes to the table, to now it's where her end game is, men, you got to suck it up, you got to sacrifice, and the women, all you have to do, show up and be sweet, be traditional, and that's all it takes. That's your message. Now, the last clip, and we can discuss it, and I'll let Alaska chime in too, is the one that gets to me. The other one that I just played, a lot of men are going to say, you know what, that's our job, our responsibility. I'm a man, and for me to be a real man, I have to protect my woman. Got news for you, guys. There are women who do know how to handle guns. If you are the victim of a home invasion and you're saying to your wife, baby, stay here, and you're going to go face them alone, and there might be two or three of them, one coming through the window, one through the back door, etc., and you don't think that she has a right and a duty to protect the home you're providing for her and the children, that's what I say is the insidious message that it makes men, being men, a burden. Now, here's the last clip, and then we can discuss any and all of them. And this one gets to me, because this one shows her hypocrisy. Okay. Oh, boy. Ooh, man. Oh, here we go.
A woman goes on a date with you, and the second the guy says, let's split the bill, it's done. I'm telling you, it's done. It's over. That date is done. You're done. You're on the B team in her mind. It's over. It's really over because, above all else, women do want that gentlemanly man. Now, I'm not saying every woman deserves that gentlemanly man. That's not what I'm saying. However, at the end of the day, and I've said this on here, even if you go out with a girl and she's behaving badly and you're like, okay, I'm not doing this again. She's disrespectful. It does happen. We've shown the videos here where it happens. You still pay that bill. Because at the end of the day, you got to lay your head to the pillow at night, and you have to know that you are that guy, that you are that stand-up guy,
that you are above the fray, that you are that gentleman, that your mama raised you right, all of that stuff. So splitting the bill, not attractive. A woman goes on a date.
Okay. Comment from anybody. Anybody in the switchboard, Suzette, you're first. You're the co-host. Alaska, if you want to chime in, you can. But Suzette, you first.
I think that's BS because you're encouraging bad behavior if you pay that bill before you leave. You just get up and you go. I mean, you might leave money for an Uber since she has to get home. But for the most part, if she behaved badly throughout dinner and she knew it, she knew you were getting irritated, she knew she was behaving badly, she was doing it on purpose to get attention, flirting, just being a little, you know, a whore.
A bitch.
And so, yeah, too bad. Sorry. You pay for your own meal. I got to go. I got better things to do with my life tonight. Clip my toenails. I'd rather do that than be with you. That's how bad you were, and I'm not going to pay for your meal. That's nothing have to do with being a decent guy. Why does a guy have to be decent, and she gets to get away with this behavior, and she'll never learn. She'll just know that she can continue that with the next guy. I mean, yeah, no, that's not cool.
No, and if you notice, she was hypocritical right in the middle of the video. You know, gentlemanly guy, and, you know, the woman, not all women deserve the gentleman, but they want them. And don't forget the other clips, you know, if a woman is behaving badly, leave. So here she is saying, even, I'm taught in her own words, as explicit as you can get, even if the woman treats you disrespectfully, do what your mama told you, because you got to pay the bill. You're the gentleman. So this is the end game, guys. This is why I'm playing these clips. Even when you hear a woman who, even if she's not on YouTube, a woman in real life that you come across in some sort of social atmosphere, and she comes across as somebody who's, oh, yeah, I mean, women should pay their own ways sometimes, or go Dutch, blah, blah, blah. Find out what the end game is. Is she wanting to be a traditional woman, whereas you have to stay in that role of traditional man, regardless of whether she says she's a feminist or not, which means you got to do the protection, you got to do the providing, you have to do the entertainment, and if she, God knows she's virtuous, she was born that way, if she disagrees with you, well, she can still call the shots and say, you know what, you're bullying me. You're raising your voice. And they even say nowadays that if you raise your voice, that's considered violent in some places. So this irks me to no end. Okay. Now, since we've only got about 10 minutes left, anybody who wants to chime in, Suzette, if you want to make more commentary, cool. Alaska, if you want to chime in, you got the floor.
Well, I guess I must have got raised the wrong way, Joe. But, you know, it's always been my way that if you put the invitation out, to take somebody out or, go out for a meal. And I do this even with my guy friends. If I invite somebody to go out, say like, hey, let's go get breakfast someplace or, something like that. I plan on paying the bill because I was the one who made the invite. If I invite somebody out to go with me someplace, I'm not expecting them to pay their bill. Now, if they insist on paying for their own food and stuff like that, well, yeah, okay, type of stuff. But no, I'll pick up the tab because I was the one to put out the invite. And, even if the woman is real.
You can hear
me.
I plugged in my ear plug so I can hear people better, but go ahead, guys.
But even if, she's going to be a bitch, you know, at the table or something like that. Yeah, I'll go ahead and pay for the bill because I invited her. But you better believe that I'm going to put the word out, you know, and, you know, warn everybody that I know that she's a bitch and she ain't worth it.
Which won't mean a damn thing to her. Because it won't mean a damn thing to her because how many people do you know that also at the same time knows her? Okay? So if you want to pay, and if every woman in America knows, all they got to do is, you know, go out, act any asshole way they want to, and get that free meal, and that's what they're doing. They're not what they're going to do. It's what they're doing. There was a survey, and one-third of the women who were surveyed said that they go out on dates mainly just for the free meals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they even videotape themselves, you know, and if they're disappointed with the guy that invited them out to dinner, then they shame them on YouTube. Can you believe this guy? Can you believe this guy for taking me here to whatever restaurant it was? I think it was a Cheesecake Factory. When I'm dressed like this,
Cheesecake Factory.
He's got all this love tonight. I'm the prize, and he brought me here to the Cheese Factory, you know. And then he takes her home because she was ready to go to another restaurant. She goes, "Where are we going now?" He says, "I'm taking you home." He says, "You're not serious. Really? You're going to take me home now? You're going to waste all this? I got ready. You know, it took me all this time to get ready." He said, "Yeah, and I waited for you almost an hour." He says,
"Oh,
we knew what time we were leaving, and you still persisted to take an hour. Well, I'm sorry. I work. I have to work. That comes first. But now look at the results, and now you're going to take me home?" He took her home, dropped her off. I didn't say another word.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to say one more thing.
Well,
I don't know if anybody's seen, it's kind of an old movie, Parenthood with Steve Martin. And in that movie, they already have three kids, and so he's kind of going through a midlife crisis sort of thing. And kind of down, he just lost his job, and he's got a house, you know, mortgage, all that, to pay family and all that to raise. His son's he's got issues, emotional issues, and so he's got a lot on his plate to deal with. And now he finds out that his wife, Karen, is pregnant. And he says, "Oh, great, now I can ruin another kid," you know. And she says, "Bill, what do you want me to do?" He says, "I don't know. It's your decision." And she's like, "Are you a politician? Are you running for Congress?" "No, this is our decision. This isn't my decision." And so he says, that's the problem. He says, "Women have decisions. Men have responsibilities," as he's walking out. And she says, "Gil, do you really have to go now?" And he says, "My whole life has had to." Close scene.
I'll probably get into that in the next hour. Go ahead, boys.
Any guy who wants to ask out a bimbo or whatever, you know, some gal he met, you know, and goes and wants to take her to the most expensive place in town is a fool. Until, you know, such times as you sit back and say, "Hey, let's go meet for a cup of coffee," you know. Maybe go to a nice upscale coffee shop place.
I'm going to interrupt you there. We've only got 5 minutes left, so for people who are listening, the number to call in if you'd like to join in for the next hour, you won't be able to hear the show over the air, but you will be able to participate via your phone. So if you want to participate in this discussion, you have to call in now before 8 p.m. And the number now for you guys to call in is 646-478-5284.
And I will repeat that in 1 minute so that you guys can go get a piece of paper and pencil if you'd like to call in. And go ahead, boy.
So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take her out to the most expensive place to begin with. So, you know, let's go get a casual cup of coffee or something, you know, to that effect prior to going to the most expensive place in town. You know, that way, you know, you can sit around and you can talk and figure out who's who in the zoo and stuff like that. Because, you know, it may end up that you like her, but she doesn't like you by the end of the evening because of whatever. Well, you know, push come to shove, no harm, no foul. You know, rather than sitting there and having a $200 or $300 dinner ticket bill.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Yeah. And then there's an expectation, a level of expectation next time you go out. And let's say the dude doesn't have the money to take her out that week to that type of restaurant, but she expects it now. Now she thinks he's holding out, downgrading. You know, and it just opens up a can of worms for all kinds of different types of assumptions because people tend to go into these things with expectations. And there shouldn't be. You need to work up to that. And I like your thing there, Boyd, as far as getting to know each other at first. Because you don't want to set a level that she's going to expect to have every time you take her out, unless you have that kind of money. But it's just, you need to get to know people first. And, yeah, so the casual is good. That was all I was going to say.
All right, I'm going to repeat the number again. Hold on, guys.
You do the setup.
Boyd.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm repeating the number again. Here we go. It is 646-478-5284, and you got to call in now. You've only got 2 minutes, probably no more than a minute and 30 seconds, whoever's listening. I really don't expect a lot of people to listen to have listened to the show since it was spur of the moment. You know, a couple of days ago I decided to do it. All right, so here's the thing. Boyd, you believe that even if the woman's disrespecting you, pay the bill. Okay. You want to do it? That's up to you. Your choice, your money. Me, I wouldn't do it. That, to me, is outrageous. Now, it's not about the man and the woman just didn't get along. They bought each other. They found out they didn't have chemistry. You still pay the bill. Okay. That's just a bad date. You didn't like her. She didn't like you. But as was explicitly said, if she is being disrespectful towards you, okay? And as Suzette had mentioned, maybe the girl is flirting. Maybe she took out her cell phone and started, you know, talking to somebody or just hitting the keys. If she's not listening to you and, you know, and ordering more of wine and maybe even some more of a meal because she wants to get out of there herself, but she wants more to be put taken from your wallet. No, I wouldn't pay it. Okay, and men should not pay it. And for you, you know, and for your proclamation of saying that if a man wants to take a woman out to the best place, he's a fool. I happen to agree with Suzette. If the man is going to do that, and then he can't continue to do that, then he's setting up his own demise with the girl. But if he can afford to do it, let him do it. If it's his money, you're in favor of whoever's asking somebody out, you know, pay the bill. Well, let me ask you this, Boyd. If you went out with your friends, your male friends, and one of them or two of them got very drunk, and you were paying for the drinks, but now they got sloppy drunk, that got disrespectful towards you, other people in the bar or in the club, and the manager has to come over and shut them down. Say, shut up, guys. Are you going to continue to buy them drinks?
Well, that I don't know because when I was always in that situation, I was always the sloppy one.
Okay. So you're saying you don't know. Me, I wouldn't do it. If somebody is in my company and I'm paying for them, and they're going to act their ass, they don't get the free meal, the free drinks, or the free anything anymore. because when you're taking somebody out, male or female, and you're treating them, you got to be shown a certain level of appreciation, gratitude, respect, et cetera, et cetera. It's common sense. If a person doesn't show it, hasta la vista. Now, if you're going to pay the entire bill for a bunch of assholes, I think you're a moron, okay, for hanging out with them to begin with. You didn't know that they were morons when they were, you know, before then. Now you know. And you should tell them, hey, guys, no more. You got to cut yourself off. I can't keep paying if you're going to get us in trouble. I'll be this loud. You can do that. And if they continue on, then I think you should have, you know, you should be, your conscience should be free. But mm-hmm. let's get back to, okay, Suzette, you want to say something?
Yes. There are, and we're seeing more and more of them. What they do is they know what instruction they've been given. Instructions. The man invites her out. He says, dress casual. So she's thinking dress casual. She knows what dress casual is, but instead she chooses to get all dutied up. Well, in her opinion anyway, her hair done or did or whatever, dressing up, heels and all that. And he's planned a picnic for both of them. And he shows up dressed casual. So the whole time he's driving to the park or to, sometimes they have movies in the park or music in the park, these type of events. And so we planned it all out, you know, putting a blanket down and all of that. And but she's not happy with that because she's all dressed up and expecting to go
all
somewhere.
Dressed up.
But he told her, dress casual. He did that for a reason, to give her a hint as far as this isn't the type of place you get all dutied up with heels and your hair and makeup and all that. So she gets all pissy about it, wants to be taken home, makes him feel bad because he went through all the trouble to do this and she didn't appreciate it. So now he's thinking, where did I go wrong? You know, and now he is vulnerable to her because he wants another chance with her because he thinks he could actually maybe have something with her. How he could possibly think that, I don't know, because if somebody treated me that way after I went through all the trouble and didn't appreciate the time and the thoughtfulness that I took into putting this thing together, because you just can't throw it together like in 10 minutes. You have to kind of plan it out a little bit if you want it to work out nice. But she didn't think about it. You're taking me where?
Cheesecake Factory.
Right away, that would be a red light for me going, yeah, I'm never calling you again. Vice versa, you know, she would have put something together the other way. Same thing. You know, she has all the right to say, I don't want to see you, don't call me, lose my number.
What were you going to
just
say,
a matter
boy?
Of appreciation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm retired, okay? And I ran into a gal the other day that worked where I worked. And I met up with her at FedEx. And she was working, she works in the warehouse where I work. I was in the warehouse, but she worked in the warehouse. And I can tell you that if she hadn't changed her name real lately, you know, just recently within the last year, I probably may have asked her out since I am now a widow. And, but the thing I'm getting to is that, this gal could work, she works, harder than any of the guys there in the warehouse. And she doesn't break a sweat. She's in very good shape. And, what I noticed when I met her the other day was that she had on all sorts of makeup and everything and was looking really good. And even when she, you know, the days that she would come into work when I was there and she didn't have on her makeup or anything, you know, she was looking good. But, you know, she was there and she was, had her face all done and everything was, I mean, just almost perfect on her. And, you know, that is up to her to do. Why she did it, hell if I know. You know, because, you know, she's working in the warehouse, lifting things, moving stuff around.
Boy, what does your story got to do with the with what I was talking about the last hour?
You know, I'll tell you the honest to God truth, Joe. I don't know. It was there. There was a reason for it, and I lost.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to continue on. I thought it okay. So here's the thing. You were talking about asking the women out and the first one and all that kind of good stuff, and you know you can meet. On dating sites, I've been on dating sites like years ago. Haven't been on. I might go back. The women will tell you we're not meeting for coffee. The better looking they are, the more that they insist you're taking me out. They will say that explicitly in their description. Okay. Over 40. Now, guys, before they reach 40, they want to impress. They want to take the woman out to the best places, affordable, etc. Okay, fine. Over 40, I'm of the same ilk in which we can meet, we can go out for coffee, we can go to the park, we can take separate cars. I've done the dating thing. It doesn't work that well. I want something different. I want a woman to be interested in me. And in order to find that out, you're going to have to go Dutch. None of this about I invite you out, I pay. No, I've been invited out. One woman did pay for a full day with me. Other women have said, you know, let's meet. It's always me. I haven't yet crossed the Rubicon to ask if we meet. And I offer, if I don't offer to pick up the tab for meeting for coffee, which then will expand into a meal, how will you feel about that? Okay, because when they say let's meet, they're not thinking about splitting the bill. They're thinking about the guy's going to be a gentleman. He's going to try to pick up the tab for the donuts, the sandwich, the meal, the wine, the coffee, and I'm going to let him because, A, that's your job. There was even a woman on BTR who said, do you know what? I let a man hold open the doors for me because that empowers them. Empowers them? How? Didn't have an answer. Okay? The purpose of this show tonight and the purpose of the next show, or maybe if not the next show, then the show afterwards, is a very important video. The message that I want to give out there is not because this show is huge. It's not. Maybe two people will know this by the time the show ends, two to six, perhaps. Okay? There are people on YouTube who do a very good job of explaining what one person will call the manosphere, in which modern dating is a shit fest. There are men who have given up dating altogether. In Japan, this happened way before the Me Too movement. In Japan, the people, the men there between the ages of either 18 to 25 or 25 to 35. Anyway, they're young men. They've given up dating. And this is before the Me Too movement here. And over there in Japan, there's a mixture of the Japanese traditional culture with the modern culture. And they gave up. The thing is that men have to realize you are important. You are the prize. You fight wars. You're the police. You're the fire chiefs. You're the firemen. You are construction workers. You do all of the building and venting in America and around the world. You're the prize. Men have been conditioned to think since the 70s that women are the prize. Okay? Before then, men had leverage. Men, they do not have leverage. The laws are skewed for women, not only in terms of child support, alimony, palimony, divorce, but even in casual relationships. Men have to wake up and realize that, look, okay, you don't have to approach.
There are ways of getting women to get to know you without you having to risk going up to some woman who had a bad time at work. And even if she thinks she might like to talk to you, she's going to give you the look, which says, don't approach me, okay? Men don't respect themselves enough in comparison with women. Like that general said, like 2 years ago, I don't know if it's General Milley or one of the generals in Trump's administration. He said, girls come first. This is the culture that we live in. Girls do not come first, okay? Women do not come first. Men should come first. It doesn't mean that men should abuse women, okay? And there are scumbags out there that do. But if you're always going to sacrifice yourself for the ideal that if you treat this woman nicely, you might live up to her subconscious expectations of what a hero is, and you might get her to show you appreciation. I got news for you. And this is something that the MGTOW movement has exposed and other videos up on YouTube have exposed. Just because you treat the woman nicely doesn't mean she appreciates it. There is such a lack of appreciation and gratitude, which is being exposed now, that that's one of the reasons why men are dropping out of the dating world. I'm over 40. I'm way over 40, you know? But I am not going to pay for another date. I stopped paying for dates a while back. It's Dutch, baby, okay? I'm not just as important as you. I am more important than you. I have helped contribute to society, okay? You, on the other hand, yeah, you give birth, but you keep banging that drum. Huh? We give birth. Well, without us, you don't give birth. And I tell you, without you acknowledge that when it comes time for child support. Now, you talk about the skewed message. Have you guys heard about Al Pacino's divorce? Either one of you? Al Pacino is 83 years of age. He married somebody who's about 35. They have a daughter or a son, a baby, 5 months old. She's getting a divorce from him. Now, I'm asking both of you, what do you think a rational, reasonable child support should be for a 35-year-old with a 5-month-old baby? Either one of you.
Well,
I know. That's
know,
a good question.
That would all depend on what is the
just
guy
give a number,
earned.
Boy. It's a million. It's Al Pacino. He's a millionaire. Give a number.
Oh, for her, I would say, you know, $10,000 a month.
You would say $10,000 a month. All right. Suzette, what's your estimate?
Absent alimony, I would say, you know, no more than $2,000 a month.
Okay.
I realize it's Al Pacino, but to be realistic, as far as it's still, he's still a man. I mean, he's a you know, makes a decent amount of money or has that money, but that still doesn't make it right. You need the money that's going to raise the kid, not so that you could live off of it and squander it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Now, before I tell you what the amount was, boy, why do you say $10,000 a month? You just picked it out of your butt or what?
Well, because of Al Pacino and stuff like that and his money situation that I think his money situation is, yeah, that's probably what they're going to go and settle on depending on where the divorce is at. If it's in New York, he's fucked. If it's somewhere else, you know, he's got a reasonable
chance. Let me ask you this. If it's $10,000, do you feel $10,000 a month for a 5-month-old baby, even though Pacino's a millionaire, that's $1 million a year. No, that's over $100,000 a year for a $120,000 a year for a 5-month-old baby who's only going to be 5 months and a half at the end of the year, or 6 months. I mean, yeah, 1 year and 1 year, and maybe 1 year and 5 months. You think that $10,000 a month is a fair amount that should be taken out of his wallet to go towards the maintenance of a 5-month-old child?
Hell no. Hell no, hell no. That's excessive. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Boyd.
Okay, Suzette. Boyd, you.
Well, it would be relevant.
Okay, let me give you the number.
Listen. It would be relevant to the lifestyle that the kid would have if they stayed together.
Yeah. It's, do you know what it was? $20,000 a fucking month.
Oh, my God.
$20,000.
Holy cow. No.
That divorce and everything was done in New York State.
Whatever it was, $20,000. Now, it's child support. It's not alimony, right? Child support. Supposed to be for the support of the child, in which if I know correctly, I may not, that child support is not supposed to go towards the sustenance maintenance of the spouse that's got the custody of the kid.
Right. So then you figure, okay, how many diapers does this kid go through at 5 months? You know, at 6 months, at 7 months. He's not really doing anything except for laying in bed or, his crib or crawling around. Then he'll learn to walk. And, as he gets into elementary school, maybe a private school, then the costs are going to start to come in. And that $10,000 will still be in excess of what would be required to maintain that child. So, that's – that's, and, these courts, they determine it by the amount of money that you have or earn. And so the father always gets basically screwed. So he's got to maintain his life and not even have a lifestyle and pay through the nose for the one kid that doesn't need or require that type of money to be raised.
Yeah, the toys are not going to be made out of gold. The kid, you're not ordinarily, I don't know, but if child support is given, is that supposed to take into consideration the future of the child as well? So is it legal for the judge to think, I'm going to give this kid $20,000 a month because now they can save up the money for college? I don't know if that's legal to me. I don't think it's right, okay, because the kid may not go to college. It may raise a spoiled child. You can start off with $2,000 a month, maybe, and then as the child grows, because, the child support is not going to end until the child gets to be 18, then accommodate, adjust the child support. Now, in Canada, you want to hear something outrageous? Okay. Now, you guys know Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was on a show, news, radio, something like that. And he was a bit player on that show about 15 years ago. There was a guy who was a co-star of that show. He's from Canada, okay? He was making like $1 million a year for the time that the show was on. I think it was on for 2 seasons, 3 seasons. All right. So he gets married. Now, according to Canadian law, this guy was making $1 million a year. He got lucky. He got himself the jackpot of this show. Since that time, he has done bit roles. So he's probably made no more than, let's say, $100,000 a year, if that. Do you know what the Canadian courts have said to this guy? They said to him, you're divorced. You got to pay alimony. But she gets the alimony dependent upon the top amount you earned, not what you are earning now. So he made $1 million a year for about 2 years, and he's got whatever the amount was. Let's say it's 50% of the $1,500,000 he had to pay her. Let's reduce it to $300,000. All right. He still got to pay her $300,000 fucking dollars a year, even though he's making shit. That's in Canada. You might say, hey, we're lucky here in America. okay? What I'm getting at with these videos, oh, boy, not so lucky. No. What I'm getting at with these videos is that men have to realize that you're being taken advantage of, okay? And you're subscribing to that insidious message because you want to be a man. You want to impress the girls. You think that if you impress the girls with your manliness and your dominance, that she's going to be appreciative and grateful and love you. For a while, yes. But it's so easy to disrupt that love that they don't show a hell of a lot of appreciation after the first 2 years of marriage. The honeymoon is over. She's got you. When she said, I do, that meant I do have half his shit. All right? That's what it meant. So you guys got to wake up. You got to stop thinking of yourself as just, well, you know what? Yeah, maybe I am thought of as a wallet, but that's my lot in life. I'm supposed to be thought of that way. No.
No.
Oh, by the way, you have a slide up that I would like, but I couldn't completely read it. And the reason why is because the big W was in the way. Something about man, good man. What was it that you had put up there?
Let's see. Oh, it says, let me get to it. Nuts. I have to open it.
Oh, while you're doing that, I'll go on with what I'm
saying. Yeah, I'll get that for you here.
Yeah, no problem. The thing is that, man, you don't realize how much you're being used and how much the women do not care. The make movement is only the tip of the iceberg, okay? You, as a man who treats women well, I'm not talking about the scumbag people. I'm not talking about maybe the 25% of men who have narcissistic personality disorder or some sort of personality disorder other than that treat women horribly. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the 75% of men who would treat any and all women very decently, and the woman showed a bit of reciprocation, he would treat her even better. You haven't gotten it yet, Suzette? No problem. Okay? So men, do not subscribe to the philosophy that women and children first and sacrifice your ass for them. On BTR, Judge Joe Brown has a show. Well, it's really somebody else's show, but he always comes on it, you know, every Friday. And he talks about how men should man up and defend the women, all that kind of good stuff. And talked about the Titanic. No, I'm going to bring up the next time, if they answer my phone, I'm going to ask Judge Joe Brown. And I'm asking any man, okay, if you're on a cruise, Boy, do you believe in that philosophy of men and women first on the Titanic?
Men and women? You mean women and children?
I mean women and children first.
Yeah, I would go to that.
You would do that? Okay, let me ask you a question then. Let's say you're on a cruise. Do you have a grandson?
I have two granddaughters.
No. Do you have a favorite nephew? Or do you have a son? If you have granddaughters, you have a son.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you and he went on a cruise, okay, and what happened like 6 months ago, a cruise had problems. They were afraid of it springing a leak. Now, let's say you were on a cruise and there was a leak, a huge leak like the Titanic, and you and your son were rushing towards the last lifeboat. And rushing from the other side were two women, okay? And only two seats left on the lifeboat. Would you say to your son, hey, son, you know, well, we don't know these women, you know, maybe nice gals, who knows? They might be child molesters, we don't know. Even though we got here first, we should give up our seats for these women. And your mother, God rest, you know, my wife, she's just going to have to suffer the fact that we're going to have to go down with the ship. Would you do that?
Well, that's a question. I don't know if I could answer that.
It's a hypothetical. So
yeah,
put
I know
yourself in a hypothetical position.
In a hypothetical condition, I might. It would depend. I'd have to have a lot of factors to be in
that. You don't
that.
Have time to figure out the factors. You're rushing towards the lifeboat, last lifeboat, just you and your son.
The hypotheticals. Okay. I would already have, like, where in the world are we? What's the water temperature out there? And all of that stuff.
You would.
You know.
All right. All right, same conditions as the Titanic. The shark filled, it's icy cold, you're 10 miles away from shore. Those are the conditions. Last lifeboat.
I got it.
Oh, no, I would probably,
you got it? Okay.
I would probably let him go.
Let them go. You mean to let them go first or what?
Yeah, let them get in the boat.
You would let them get in the boat. Okay. So there's one male who's been brainwashed. Okay. So you'd be
Wait a minute.
Whoa. No.
You've been brainwashed. I'm going to explain why.
Where's this brainwashing coming?
I'm telling you. You're letting yourself and your son die so that two women you don't know get saved, which means that your wife, his mother, are going to have to suffer. But that doesn't matter to you because you want to be the gentleman and you want to let these two heifers that you don't know anything about get into the lifeboat and let you go down with the ship so you can be a hero, but a dead hero, and you sacrificed your son for the sake of nothing. The women are not doing it for you. Why should you do it for them? That's why you're brainwashed. Get used to it.
Well, you know what? There is one thing that I have that apparently you want to throw away, and that's honor.
That's not nothing to do with honor. And if you think it is, that's what I'm saying. Brainwashed. You let yourself die. You let your son die for two women you don't know. Now, if it was two guys, you would fight for that those last two seats. Two guys, I don't know. But for two women, you would. And you want to say it for honor because you want to be the hero? Good. Put it on your tombstone. He died with his sense of honor, leaving his son to die with him and his wife, his mother, to suffer. Needlessly brainwashed. Did you find it, Suzette?
I did, and I think I know which one you're talking about. A man who is more concerned with being a good man than being good at being a man makes a very well-behaved slave.
There you go. Okay.
A man who is more concerned with being a good man than being a good than being good at being a man is a slave, a good slave. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would think it would be, let me see the room, to be a good man. No, I would reverse it. Instead of being a man, did I say a man who was good? Could you say it one more time, please?
A man who is more concerned with being a good man than being good at being a man makes him a well-behaved slave.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would substitute the word for the word good being the real man. That's the terminology we've been using for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And I know, I think what that particular saying that you've just repeated to us means, it means a man who is trying to make people believe that he is holy and righteous is what I take away from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, and I don't subscribe to that. You know, there are people who do believe in, you know, that Christianity and the Quran and the Torah and all these religions really mean something. The thing is that I would substitute, as I've said, real man, because the real man, okay, he's supposed to sacrifice himself for women he doesn't even know. Right?
Well,
he's supposed to do that.
Hey, let me interrupt. I'm going to walk away from the computer, but I'm still going to be listening. So continue on, just in case you call my name out.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't answer.
Okay, no problem. I got it. No problem.
I take away
the thing
from
is,
that. Even if you substitute a man, a real man or a man, it just says a man, a person that's worried about what people think about him. As far as, am I making the right decisions? Do I look good at making these decisions? Do I look like I'm concerned like I should be about my family or my job or whatever? That's the person that's basically going by what everybody else says. He's concerned with everybody else, what they think about him, rather than just being a good man. If you're a good man, you don't have to worry about that. You know, who gives two shits about what other people think about you? Sorry. go ahead.
No, you're right. Go ahead. If you have anything more to say before I interject, go ahead.
Oh, I was finished. I was just giving you my takeaway from that. But, yeah, I mean, and you shouldn't care what other people think. You're the head of your household, you know, and you're doing what you're doing with your family, your wife and that. And so you guys are doing what you're doing. Who cares? You know, I mean, society to a point, there's some morality but and some civility. But other than that, you know, it's none of their business. Go ahead.
That's true. If you're a good man doing, because I've always, my prerequisite for both male friends and for females who I would love to have intimacy with, not just sex, but intimacy with, is morality. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Simple. If you know what that is, then you're going to have few problems, very few problems, with other people who have the same moral philosophy as you do. I also want to bring up the thing about dumb men. Jedediah and other of these female advocates, they mentioned that a man should be a dominant man. That's the kind of men that women go for. I have no problem with that. All right? All people like strong people. But the thing is, guys, I'm going to tell you, you're not, in today's society, you're not the dominant person. You know why? Because to be a dominant person without being considered a bully, without having an injunction levied against you for raising your voice or for, quote, unquote, stalking her when you're trying to really make up with her, is if you can persuade the woman to do what you want to do, that's being dominant. But if she doesn't want to do what you want her to do, you have no say about it, dude. If you're married and the woman says no to a decision that you want to make and you're supposed to be the dominant person, supposed to be, you're supposed to be the leader, and she says no, what are you going to do? Fucking nothing except argue. You're going to fuss and fight. Both of you are going to withdraw sex from each other. You're going to start, if you can't make up, then what you're going to do, you're going to live in separate bedrooms until the woman wants a divorce. 70%, if my memory serves me right, of all divorces are initiated by women, okay? And not because they were abused. Some of them were, and those men are scumbags. But because irreconcilable differences, meaning I got bored with him, his salary went down, he didn't climb up the ladder fast enough, he's annoying the shit out of me, I've got my own money, what do I need him for? I can take alimony, I can take child support. I got all this going for me, plus my own career. So, guys, you're not the dominant one. Certainly not long term. If she doesn't mind, you're fucked as shit. Okay? Now, there are people who will say, you know, well, men aren't dominant today because they become more feminine, less masculine. No, is what I've said. It's the law. During the 40s and 50s, the men had the veto power. That's why they were the dominant ones back then. A wife couldn't get a credit card without his say-so. So if she pissed him off, she didn't get a credit card. Women who weren't working would get allowances. If she pissed him off, she got a hell of a reduction in allowance. In some states, a man could roll over his wife, and she'd say, wait a minute, and out rape. Okay? Men had the law on their side. It was a stigma for a woman to work. All right? So, because the man was looked at as a scumbucket, as somebody who couldn't provide for his family. So it was a stigma for the woman to work because it reflected on him, and it showed that, you know, she wanted to get away from somebody or that she didn't appreciate the life of being a married wife. Also, there was a stigma about women sleeping around, and those who too old to remember this, too young to remember this, but could look at some history books. If a woman got pregnant, she went out of state to have an abortion, if she got an abortion, and then came back with the story that, oh, you know, now she went for vacation and now she's back. Now she went to visit some of the grandparents or the cousins, and now she's back now. But really, she got rid of the baby that she didn't want anybody else to know. There was a stigma attached. Nowadays, you can pop out a fucking kid anytime you want. And no stigma. No stigma.
No stigma, so, also with divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, divorce used to be frowned upon, and I experienced this personally in my first marriage when I divorced. And my mother is very traditional. My family is very traditional, and I'm over 40 as well. So back then, mm-hmm. it was, you know, I told my mom that Jim and I were getting divorced, and she says, don't tell you, mm-hmm. have you told your grandfather? Don't tell your grandfather. Don't tell any family. What has he done? Did he hit you or anything? And I said, well, no. And she says, well, then what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
We
yeah.
just fell out of love. You know, after 7.5 years of marriage, we decided to go our separate ways and pursue happiness that way. That's all. We still get along. Yeah, but if he doesn't hit you, why are you getting divorced?
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, it had to be something to that magnitude. Other than that, you stayed married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I don't know if that contributes to anything. But I also wanted to mention, too, why is it that when a man is confident in himself and his being, and when he asserts himself with confidence, it's called bullying, you know, that he's trying to dominate over her. But when she does it, when the woman does it, she's confident. She's not thought of as a bully. Why can't
yeah,
men be confident in their being?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
because
know.
Because of the propaganda. Well, you know, through your political shows about how the world, not only America, is targeted to be divided among gender lines, economic lines, political lines. This is part of it. This is meant to make women victims. Women have two currencies, their so-called beauty, which isn't really beauty because when you take off the makeup, very, very few women are really good looking. And the other one is being a victim. If you're a victim nowadays, you got the law on your side. You got the women who are very sympathetic towards you and men too, and you have the law on your side. So if a man is confident, then he's being considered a bully. He doesn't want this bullshit. So he backs off, which is now dividing the genders. This is why you have YouTube videos saying that the MGTOW movement is saying, I don't want to be bothered with these women. Not that they don't want to be bothered with women. They don't want to be bothered with these women. But as it's turning out, I would say, subjectively speaking, 98% of the women, especially the younger ones, they're the ones that are so selfish, so entitled, and so it's me, myself, and I, as opposed to you, me, and we, that people can't get along, can't reach true intimacy. Now, we've only got 20 minutes left. Boyd, I've cut you off a few times. You got the floor, so make good use of it. Okay, so we wait for him to come back. So, and the next video, the next show, if I have a next show, it will really show. And this, oh, man, this is a video which is so calmly stated about the state of affairs with regards to men, that men of all ages, if they've had an inkling about what this video is going to expose and reveal, there will be some men, if they're standing up when they start listening to this video, will plop down into their chair with their jaws dropped. And women, those who are truly sympathetic towards those men who have the issues that we all have as men, the burdens of today's society, and you hear this video, and if you're truly sympathetic, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you start crying, because this entails your sons, your husbands, brothers, etc. And what has been happening to men for, let's say, the last 100 years, okay, at the very least. So I'm going to play that video. Hey. Go ahead, Boyd.
Yeah, I'm back. I'd like to tell you a quote that I heard on a documentary that was about the hookers and the strippers and stuff like that in Vegas, and what this one stripper said, and it was so appropriate, you know, because you know, they were talking about guys going into strip clubs and, you know, buying table dances and all of that stuff and spending lots of money and stuff like that, you know, and guys trying to get all close up with, you know, a stripper or something. And she said about those guys and everything, she says, yeah, they're going to get fucked, but they're not going to get laid.
Okay. Yeah, that's a common statement and attitude that women, you don't even have to be a stripper. The thing is, yeah. And I want to say this before we leave, because my undiagnosed ADD. The reason why I had the show tonight was because something like this has not been on YouTube. There have been very good videos warning men about the dangers of traversing the minefields in the modern dating world. But nobody summed it up so that men, if they do feel that the women that they've been listening to who have been disparaging of women and or sympathetic towards men may not be that particular woman. I wanted to sum that up because nobody, I want to say that so that men can realize, hey, you smile nicely, you smell good. I mean, in the first dates, I mean, we've hit it off nicely, but what's your end game, babe? Do you want me to protect and provide while you do nothing? Do you want, how much of, if we get together and if we live together, how much of your salary do you want to contribute to the household? Is it going to be 50-50 with me, or is it going to be 90 me, 10 you? You know? So I wanted to do this type of summary. And I also, I don't think you've heard this yet, Suzette, but I've said this on Inez's show. I've said this in other relationship shows. I don't have the recipe for a good relationship, but I do have the guide manual for how to avoid a bad one. If a man and a woman are thinking about getting together to being really intimate in terms of a long-term relationship, what people should do is take out a piece of paper and put down on that paper as clinically as much as possible what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, what are the deal breakers, and then to mention situations that you may not have encountered yet but probably will in the future, and get then, as a result of discussing these scenarios, get the expectations from each other. Find out what each other expects from each other when that situation pops up so that you don't get surprised and all of a sudden the hero's no longer, the hero's got feet of clay and the princess is a gold digger. Find out beforehand. So I recommend that. And I can go into some depth some other time. But Boyd, you still have a few minutes left before we call it a night. So go ahead.
Hang on. I walked away.
All right,
from the
hang on. We'll
the
wait. No problem. Okay, no problem. We got 15 minutes. Okay, we got you. All right, so Suzette, before we leave, your thoughts. Seems like you've agreed with me mainly for tonight. Anything in which you disagree with me about?
No, actually, no, and it's not because I'm being sympathetic towards men. It's just because these are my beliefs, and often I'll get criticized by women for that, for my beliefs, because there's roles that we have to, not that we have to play, but that we, I don't know, we're born into, basically, and it's just a common sense. It's a humanity thing as well, the whole being intimate with each other, making that list that you're talking about, is a form of intimacy because you're getting to know what it is that you're getting into and whether or not you want to or not. So you're both being honest with each other. But there are people, there are women and there are men, but mostly mm-hmm. women, and I know this because I'm a woman, that will actually lie and write down what it is she thinks he wants. And then pursue that relationship. And, of course, he'll find out, you know, not much further into the relationship. And hopefully he will end it because of the deception. But I've seen a number of videos. It's called gold digger videos where these women will set it up where, yeah, it appears that he doesn't really have any money, you know, but he actually has this nice car that's parked down the street.
Yeah.
And she totally just disses him, doesn't want to have anything to do with him. You know,
until
no, I'm not going to give you my number.
Car.
Why would I do that type thing?
Yeah. I know.
And then he gets in this nice car and she drives up and asks her if she wants a ride. And suddenly she just turns her attitude to, oh, hi. Oh, is this your car? Oh. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
And then he turns around and says, yep, it sure is. And I got somewhere to be. So I'm not going to be able to give you that ride after all. Later, you could have had this. Bye.
Yeah. And some of those videos, he doesn't even have to drive up. He doesn't even have to start the car. If she sees him go inside the car, she will double back in a hurry.
Yep.
And ask if she can come in, stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. So the, there was something I wanted to say, but I forgot. Go ahead, boy.
So
I
it's
might
incredible
come back.
How she can just change up her personality like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and
you
California,
talk, you
if
talk,
you get divorced, you get half. You're entitled to half when you get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So that encourages women to marry
sure.
for a short time. And then divorce quickly so she can get half. And she doesn't have to
deal
with him.
Fault.
And she goes along her merry way with half his money.
Yeah. All right. What were you going to say, boy?
Well, it's always been a minefield out there. It was a minefield out there when I was out dating and doing stuff. You know, there was never, ever a safe way to go about it. You just went out and you did it, and you found out as you went along, you know, and then you started to make your own minds up as to what you were actually looking for. I mean, listen, it's like this, okay? I worked with a great bunch of guys, okay? It was all fun and it was all games and stuff. And, you know, when it got down towards the end, my wife and I would look at each other because every one of my friends and our friends, okay, had been out there, gotten married, gotten divorced. Some of them did it three times. And stuff like that. And my wife and I would look at each other and say, what the fuck are we doing wrong? You know? Because, you know, that was it. I mean, we didn't get a divorce or anything like that. You know, we had our rough patches and stuff, but divorce or anything like that, separation, was never in the on the horizon.
I want to say something before we leave. I have an app that has a time limit. I have been on the phone using this app for an hour and 30 minutes. It can go to an hour and 47 minutes and sometimes over 2 hours before it disconnects me. So I just want to let people know, even though we only have 9 minutes left, if I happen to be disconnected, it is my fucked up app. But, okay. So we still have 9 minutes left. Go ahead, boy, for the next few minutes, and then Suzette will have the last word, and then I'll have the last word after her. So go ahead, boy. You got about four or 5 minutes.
I don't think I've said about all I can say, because I haven't been out on the market for well over 4 years for most of my life, and I don't know what's going on out there, nor do I really care, you know. But as far as the minefield goes for all the young guys and young gals out there, you know, it is a minefield. And it was a minefield when I was growing up and in the dating aspect of everything, you know. And it isn't really anything that's fucking new. You know, the only thing is that we now have YouTube and TikTok or Block, you know, whatever, the social media. So now it's kind of getting attention. But the thing is that it has always been there. You know? And that's all I can say is, you know, social media is a fucking society.
Yeah,
it's
supposed to fuck people think. Okay.
Yeah,
alrighty.
To that point, media, movies, TV are influencing young people more than ever. And yes, while there have been minefields in the past, nothing like we've seen today, because for some reason, people, women, feel empowered to just put it out there about them being the prize, and, you know, the men should hold them up on a pedestal, and it's all about the women. And then you have TikTok and YouTube that perpetuate this belief. And so the younger women, as they're being brought up, they're watching these things, and they're learning how to behave, and not behave in a good way, but to behave in a way that basically keeps the guy down and continues that whole pedestal thing again. And we've got two generations that we need to go through before that gets worked through. If people like, I don't know, like us and others bring it to the forefront. Other than that, you know, if we continue to stay silent about what's going on, then it's going to just continue to get worse. Women, that's just the way they're built. I don't know why, but they will connive. They will bring these things to a relationship that are worth nothing. You know, I do agree with Jedediah as far as what do you have to bring to the table, and it goes for the man and for the woman. Again, it goes to that list. But if you have nothing, but it's all about me, and I can't contribute anything else, you know, then it's not going to be a pretty thing as far as relationship goes. Relationships require work, and you have to be willing to give of yourself and not just be a taker. So that's all I have to say about that.
If you go,
hold on, boy. I want to say this, okay? Because we've only got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to have whatever space and time that I do have left for me. If I have anything left over, then we'll get back to you. Here's the thing. You mentioned, Suzette, about roles. I don't believe in roles. I don't believe there's a role for the man. I don't believe there should be a specified role for the woman. What I believe in is that men and women should seek intimacy with each other and should do it along the lines of, are you a moral, honest person who believes in reciprocation? In other words, if you treat me well, I would treat you well. Even if I'm not especially enamored with you, I will treat you the way you treat me. That doesn't mean I will get to like you so that we can become intimate, but I'm not going to abuse you. I think when people have the right mindsets, that works better. But a lot of men will not agree with me because if, for example, I met a woman who was a Xena, right? She was smarter than me. She made more money than I did. She was stronger than me in certain capabilities. She was a gymnast. She can kick ass. But she theoretically would have nothing to do with me because she's out of my league, right? She makes more money than me. She is more capable than I am in certain things. Let's say she's a martial artist and can kick ass better than I can, right? But she loves me. Okay, now I'm out of work, and she says, "Hey Joe, you can come live with me until you get a job." Okay, you know what I'll do? I'd say yes. Other people say, "Joe, how can you do that? I mean, isn't that kind of demeaning? I mean, this woman is out of your league, and he's not going to last, and she doesn't really love you, but she's letting me stay at her place." You know what? When she comes home at 6 o'clock from the corporate world in which she lives in during the day, there's going to be a meal ready for her on the table. The house is going to be clean. I'm going to do the dishes because I don't have anything else to do except look for a job. And when I'm not looking for a job, this is her house that she's giving me. The roof is over my head as a result of her munificence. Therefore, I have to show my appreciation some way. Now, I feel lucky that she loves me. I don't feel self-conscious about it. Okay? You guys might, because you want to be the man. You want to be the dominant one. You want to have the little girl that supposedly looks up to you and adores you. That's not happening, boys. Certainly not for over the long term, and certainly not as it was when you two started dating. But if she, this one, my Xena, cares for me and loves me, and I in turn love her because I've grown to know her, love her because of her kindness towards me, and she doesn't mind doing it, and I don't mind being the recipient of her largesse. Hey, world, go fuck yourselves. So, like, okay, now we got 2 minutes left. Boyd, go ahead. And don't forget, you got 2 minutes, so you might get cut off.
Yeah, well, you know what? In your situation, I think you guys can make it. All right? And that's the way it is. The thing is, in any relationship, all right, the man puts the woman on the pedestal. But in return, the woman has to put the man up on her pedestal too. When that happens, it works. Okay?
Yep, to a degree, yeah. But the thing is that nowadays, the women are not putting men on the pedestals. They have a hero complex. They want a man to be the protective provider and to supply the subconscious desire that Disney has put in their mind. But it's not happening. All right.
The problem is, Joe, right now, you're letting the influencers influence you.
The influencers are not influencing me. I know that you come back when I said you were brainwashed. I thought of this. I gave a speech in college about female privilege before YouTube was even invented. I thought about this for a long time, realizing the kind of situation I was in as a man and wondering, why do I have to do this when all she has to do is show up? What makes her so special? If she's not showing me the appreciation I deserve and gratitude for the money, the time, for even approaching her, for even trying to seduce her to make her feel like a woman, and all she's doing is either taking me for granted or trying to start drama. The influencers have nothing on me, nothing to do with influencing me. All they've done is reveal what I thought about for a while. And we're gone past 9 o'clock. Hey, we might have another hour. Go ahead, boy.
You gotta realize, okay? A lot of guys, well, every guy that I know, that I've ever known, and every guy that's out there thinks with his little, when he's young, he thinks with his little head, first, and not his big head. So You know, you got to take that into consideration also, you know. And the girls are out there trying to figure out which head they want to be with.
Okay,
I'm thinking some
advice.
Of those men that
Go
are
ahead.
Out there that
ahead,
had told you, Joe, that they would, how could you do that? I could never do that. I think some of them are lying. I think they would do it in the same circumstances. But they've been brainwashed to think otherwise, so they can't actually say that they would, because in their mind and in society's mind, how could you do that? But, and I believe that they actually would, some of them, and they just can't admit it. You know, they're out there, and I think it has to do with being secure in yourself. And I say that because my husband is one of them. He's secure in himself. We were in a situation like that when we first started dating, because we were friends before we were dating. And it was that type of same situation, but it didn't bother him. You know, I had made more money. He took me in as far as I needed to find a place to live, because I had lived kind of far, so it made it kind of difficult to see each other. But so basically I moved in, and money was never an issue or anything else that, to that matter, that could be an issue in a relationship. When you have insecure people, whether it's the woman or the man. But it wasn't a big deal because we loved each other. We still love each other. And it's funny that people have a problem with that. They have separate bank accounts and my money, your money type of thing. And it wasn't a thing like that. It was, we're going somewhere. And it was like, so whatever, I would pay, he would pay. But it would be cut out of the same account as far as it was put together. It didn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's one thing that you missed last night, Joe. The lady that you have as your co-host right now, for some reason, I haven't got a freaking clue. She popped on Spreaker last night at freaking midnight, and I asked her what the hell she was doing up so damn late. She said her husband's doing the laundry.
So they have that kind of relationship in which both of them love each other for the roles that they've selected specifically for each other, regardless of what society says. So no problem.
Well, that and I can't do laundry right now. I can't walk.
Oh, that too. Yeah, right.
So he's taking up my roles. But, you know, there was a time when I wasn't working at all, you know, and so – he's been taking care of me, and now my situation with my being paralyzed, he's still taking care of me, and in other ways, and more, you know, and picking up the slack and everything, and I do what I can to help. But there are no roles that we have to play, and there's no issues with who's dominating who. It's not a domination thing. It's just you just do what you do. Something needs to be done, you just do it.
And that message for men to be dominant, that is a people should read a book called The Burdens of Being Male. I forget the name of the author, but it was written many years ago. And the thing is that when men try to be dominant in order to impress not only the women but the other guys, because there's always competition amongst guys, and to impress themselves, to make themselves feel that, you know, they're a strong, powerful within their capabilities, it creates havoc, and it creates drama where drama shouldn't have to be created. So, but if two women can just, not two women, but if man, woman, or two women or two men, if they can just get the right mindset based upon morality, and I'm not saying religion or Christianity or Judaism or anything like that, just morality, where I don't want to hurt you simply because you exist. I don't want to hurt you. You know, and the other person has that same mentality, and they say to themselves, I will do for you what you do for me, and you can create trustworthiness. That goes a long way. Now, the reason why today is different than it was years ago is because women have been taught for the last 50 years that, you know, ever since they were kids, that they're princesses. Society says women come first. Women are the prize. So men absorb that information, and they sacrifice themselves in order to, you know, to achieve the prize, to protect the prize, because we are all susceptible to brainwashing when we're children. We all believed in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, leprechauns, etc., because our parents and the comic books and the fairy tale books told us so. We didn't have any reason to not believe. The problem is today, not only with relationships but with politics, is that, as was told in 1984, when we get propagandized, especially early, we don't let go of it. And this is something which Orwell is especially astute about, which is what I tell people who believe in Christianity or in Judaism, and in and always blame the Republicans or always blame the Democrats, is that the brain is a sponge. It will absorb anything and believe anything. There was a show on TV about how gullible people are. It was sponsored or created by, if you guys remember, Randy the Magician. He was a guy that exposed Geller, and he exposed the paranormal for not being paranormal. He exposed charlatans. So he had John Stossel and ABC put on TV a show about gullibility. In this particular show, there was a guy who professed to be the creator, the new god, the modern age god. They promoted it. He got people showing up at this webinar. Not a webinar. It wasn't a webinar at the time. Seminar. And people believed him. He was supposed to be the new Messiah. That's what he was. He was the new Messiah. And people believed him. Never heard of him before, but believed him. At the end of the seminar, he revealed that he was a charlatan set up to prove gullibility of people. Okay? How could they believe that he's the Messiah without any evidence or proof? He just showed up about two weeks ago, and people believing in him. That's not the punchline. Here's the punchline. After he said that, and the people go, oh, my God, you did a job, and they left, right? Well, that was a good lesson in gullibility. Some people stuck around. You know why? Because they went up to him. They said, we know that you're not the new Messiah, but we want to follow you anyway as the new Messiah. Talk about brainwashing. Talk about people who need to have a crutch, people who don't know how to think, people have to seek some way to escape the doldrums of their lives. They're double gullible. It's incredible to me. Just fucking incredible. So, you know, like Suzette, we've been on show, oh boy, too, we've been on shows where people are talking about certain bullshit and they believe it. Don't have any reason, they don't have any proof, but they believe it, right?
Yeah,
so this is what's going on today.
It was on TV. Yeah, I think it still is on TV, but it changed. And the bats were. And so it was these rich men that were looking for women to marry. And so the whole thing was an illusion, but women clung to that in their heads, embedded it in their brains, and believed that there was somebody that was going to be like that was going to whisk them away. It's a freaking TV show. They say reality, but I don't know what reality that is, as far as, a knight in shining armor going to, whisk you away. But now they have the average cowboy guy that's looking for a wife, and whether or not he can find one
I've seen
women.
An episode, yeah.
Oh,
I've
have
seen
you?
Some of those episodes, yeah.
And so this
yeah,
that's
the farmer,
a little
the farmer,
bit closer
farmer
to
needs
reality.
A wife, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's it. I think the farmer needs a wife. That's right. So that's a little closer to reality as far as, working on the farm. He's supposed to be this normal average farmer person, and so there's no great expectations of money being in it, but just the initial bachelor creating this fairy tale that women seem to believe that they deserve to have that fairy tale. And so that's, again, media programming. It used to crack me up when older people would say, I need to watch my program. My program is going to start, Matlock or whatever it was that they were watching at the time.
Yeah.
and never realizing what they were saying. I need to watch my program.
Have you seen the commercials where the men nowadays are boobs and they're idiots and the women? There was one commercial that the guy was on the couch, okay, and the commercial, they're watching TV. And the commercial comes on in this commercial. So she gets up from the couch to go and get something, get a snack. He says to her, "Hey, honey, can you get me a snack?" She goes, and this is in the commercial. Are you kidding? Get it yourself. What does that say?
I think we saw that. Yeah.
What does that
all over
say?
The place. In the movies, it's always the women that come to the rescue of the man, and they portray this man to be, you know, a bumbling idiot. He's always getting into trouble, tripping over things, messing things up, and she's got to fix it. You know, and it's repeated over and over and over. I think maybe the last five or six movies that we had watched had that same scenario. And it's just, you know, putting it in people's minds and cementing it that that's how it's supposed to be. And in reality, relationships today, they're not honest. And what I mean by honest is you can't be yourself. You're being something that you were told to be by watching these programs and listening to these programs. You're being programmed to be something other than you are. And so we have suicides and we have divorces and we have a bunch of unhappy people and entitled people, young people.
Yeah.
And scary.
Go ahead, boy.
Let me ask this question, okay? And it goes along the lines of what's going on. Suzette, how many times have you saved Rob's ass in your marriage? From Rob doing something stupid or perceived to be stupid?
Nothing,
huh?
But I saved him. We used to be in a dart league, so, you know, he taught me how to play darts, never played in my life, and he coached me, so I became really good. So every now and then I would come to the rescue if we were losing. But other than that,
well,
nothing.
No. I'm talking about in your marriage. When Rob was going to go out and do something, spend money or something like that on something that was really stupid, and you stepped in and said, no, you know, you're not going to do that. You know, the same question goes to you, Joe. How many times has your girlfriend stepped in there and said, Joe,
never.
No,
never.
Come on.
Never.
I don't believe that. I cannot
okay, you know,